This morning, I would like to have a family chat, so to speak, okay, if we can do that. My kids used to say, is it a good family chat or a bad family chat? Like, hopefully it's going to be good, okay? As the sabbatical has gotten closer and closer, God began to impress on my heart some things. And so one morning I was sitting in my office and I was like, Lord, I really would like to maybe communicate these things to our people. And it was like the Holy Spirit said, good, that's why I'm giving them to you. And I was like, oh, and just started writing. And God just gave me some wonderful truths to encourage my heart, and I hope to encourage your heart this morning as well. So I want to bear my heart with you this morning a little bit about this sabbatical that's coming up. Some of this may sound self-promoting. I don't mean it that way at all. I want you to understand what is about to happen. I also want to help others, those who may view this, Bible college students that are in here and so forth. I think this is a needed area, and I'm going to show you why I think it's needed, really, as we unfold this. It's not something that has been traditional in our ranks. People have just not done this, okay? And so I want to be able to change that. I want to walk you through a little bit with that. Sunday school teachers, bear with me. I think I'm going to be done in time, but I'm just going to tell you this is the last Sunday I can say I'm the pastor of the church, and we'll just adjust the schedule, okay? At least for a little while, okay? From etymology world, the etymology says it's derived from the Hebrew word meaning Shabbat, or rest, or cease. So the very idea of Sabbath is rooted in God's word. Okay, that's where it came from. A sabbatical is the Sabbath of rest, okay? Meaning and origin, a sabbatical is a period of time, typically 1 year. Just wanted to let that sink in a little bit. I'm only going to be gone a month, not a year, right? Granted to a person, usually a professor, a researcher, or a clergyman, to pursue professional or personal development through study, travel, other activities. The concept of a sabbatical has its origins in the biblical tradition of the Sabbath, a day of rest and worship observed in Judaism. The Jewish Sabbath is a day set aside for spiritual renewal and the cessation of work. Now, this is important as we work through this. The Sabbath was primarily originally a day of rest, not a day of worship. Now, it became a day of worship and rest as well, but its primary function at the beginning was a day of rest. You say, well, how do you know that? Because God didn't need to worship himself. He's the one who first rested. 6 days of creation, a seventh day of rest. He worked so hard on the 6 days of creation, he needed to rest. No, that wasn't it either. He spoke the worlds into existence. He was setting a pattern for us. He was saying to us, this is what needs to happen. In the academic world, the sabbatical was first introduced in the late 19th century in Germany. It was originally intended to give professors an opportunity to rejuvenate and conduct research without the usual teaching and administrative duties. Over time, the sabbatical concept was adopted by universities and research institutions around the world. It became a common practice to grant sabbaticals to faculty after a certain number of years of service, typically after 7 or 8 years. I think it's interesting that 7 was a number they chose, and I'll tell you why I think that is as well as we work through this. Today, sabbaticals are not limited to academia. They're also offered in other professions. By the way, I'm quoting from a number of places. I'm just not giving you all those places, but I do have most of them footnoted. Such as clergy or medicine or law, the duration and purpose of sabbaticals can vary depending on the organization and the individual's needs. Sabbaticals provide individuals with an opportunity, this one website said, to enhance their knowledge and skills in the field of their expertise. Number two, to pursue creative endeavors or research projects. Sometimes men are given a year sabbatical to write a book, for instance, or whatever. To travel and broaden their perspectives, to reflect on their work and personal life, and then number five, to return to their work refreshed and rejuvenated. So I want us to look at some things from Scripture that I think will give us some perspective on this as we work through these things. Number one, though God has given you an under-shepherd, and I am privileged to be in that role, and I mean that with all my heart, along with my dear wife, He is the chief shepherd. You are His people. You're not mine, though we love you dearly. Psalms 23 and verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So can I encourage you, look to him during this time more than ever. It's him that you will bow before. It is him that died for you. It is him that daily loads us with benefits. Be faithful to him and to his church during this time. I don't want you to just be faithful because I'm here. I want you to be faithful to him and to his church, because that's what's important. John 10 and verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Colossians 1 and verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. I am thankful to be the under shepherd, and I mean that. I would not want to do anything else. But ultimately, it's not about me, it's about him. The direction should be to him. He's the one who purchased you with his blood. He's the one that will care for you. And even in situations, sometimes I walk out of, maybe in a hospital room with you, or maybe in another situation, I walk out of there sometimes thinking, I can't help. He can. He can do all of that. Number two truth is rest is commanded and modeled in Scripture. Number one, God told us one day a week, Exodus 31 and verse 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh he rested and was refreshed. I find that verse really interesting. Not only that God rested, but he was refreshed. How does God become refreshed? Like he's God, right? But it's a principle that God said for us. And by the way, pre-law. Okay, some people say, well, the Sabbath is the law. No, it's not. It was codified in the law, but it's pre-law. I think that's really important. Genesis 2, 2, and 3, and on the seventh day God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. God rested, and he's telling us we need to rest. So one day a week. Number two, weeks in a normal year of activities. In other words, in the calendar of God's economy, particularly in the nation of Israel, God gave them weeks in which they were to rest. Leviticus 23 and verse 34, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the feast of the tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. The Passover could be 7 or 8 days, according to Exodus chapter 12. The feast of weeks, Exodus 34 and 22, and thou shalt observe the feast of weeks of the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. So there were week-long festivals set aside in Israel's calendar periodically where they were to rest. Now, in some of those, they also were to bring a sacrifice to the temple or to the tabernacle, but that was one part of a week-long festival of rest. That's what God intended. Hanukkah, though Hanukkah not specifically in the Bible, again, is an 8-day festival that the Jewish people still celebrate today. And then number three, a year every 7 years, and a jubilee every 49 years, okay? So I think it's interesting that academia said, we think it's a good idea somewhere around the 7 or 8 year mark, and you're like, I wonder why. Because God said every 7 years the land is to rest, Leviticus 25 and following. The Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own according to thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of the vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for the stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for thy beasts that are in the land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. He then goes on to talk about the year of Jubilee. And it's interesting to me that God says, you're not to harvest. Matter of fact, there's going to be stuff naturally grow, and you're not to harvest it either. And it's not just about the Israelites getting rest, but it's about their strangers getting rest. It's about their animals getting rest, all of that. God said, this is a principle I want you as a nation to live by. Really, really interesting. If you want to do some study on your own, we don't have time to go into all of it this morning, but there is a particular group of people traveling the Oregon Trail. And it was a large wagon train, very large. And when they got to the day of rest, the seventh day, the people there that knew the Lord said, hey, we're going to rest. And the guy said, the wagon master said, you can't do that. We'll never make it over the mountains in time. You have to push through. And they said, we're going to honor God and trust him. And so the wagon train split, pretty significant split in the wagon train. The wagon train that rested arrived, I think it was 16 days ahead of the other one. It may have been 14. I didn't go back and check that stat, but it was 14 or 16 days ahead of time. Why? God. That's why. One writer said it this way. The Jews had disobeyed God's law of obeying the Sabbath. Now, this is an interesting aspect as well. They had been in the Promised Land for roughly 800 years, and for 490 years, they disobeyed the Sabbath rest. One of the reasons, there were a couple, but one of the most significant reasons that God sent them into captivity was they refused to obey this law. And God said, because you did not let the land rest, I'm going to give it rest. And so I'm going to take all these Sabbath years that you were supposed to give to it, and the land's going to lie dormant. Hence the 70 years of captivity. That's why. God said, I'm going to make sure that this takes place for the land itself. The Sabbath rest was not only every seventh day, it was also every seventh year. The Jews were allowed to work the land for 6 years, but on the seventh year, they had to let the land rest. God commanded this because the land needed to recuperate, gaining back its minerals. Also, this was an act of trust and obedience to God. The Jews were trusting God's provision by not farming for an entire year. Judgment was promised if they disobeyed God's Sabbath rest. God said, I will judge you if you don't obey this. 2 Chronicles 36:21, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years, 70 years. God said, if you choose not to obey this law, I will punish you for it. That must mean that resting is a pretty big deal to God. It's awful quiet in here this morning. You're like, well, we're a different society than Israel. I understand that. I do. But can I tell you, if you go to the Midwest today, you're going to find something that farmers have discovered. That if they don't let land rest, the land doesn't produce. And so they literally rotate crops and leave land dormant and so forth. Voila. You didn't have to do a bunch of research. You want to give me a couple $1 million to do that kind of research? I can open God's Word. I remember a couple of years ago when medical research broke through this medical concept that people who are happier in treatments actually do better. Really? You mean like God's word says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, something like that? Give us the millions of dollars. We can do the research for you. It's really easy, right? Isn't it amazing that even when the world honors God, God honors his word? You don't have to necessarily be saved. God's just going to honor it, right? This is really, really important. I could give you more truth, by the way. For instance, Henry Ford, he was working his men 16 hours a day, 7 days a week in factories and so forth. Eventually said, you know what, this is not good for our people. Gave them a day of rest, only worked them 8 hours for six days a week. Paid them like he was going to give them 16 hours. Their factories were outproducing every other factory in America in less than a year. Why? Because he honored God. Here's the deal. This is about obedience. I've often heard preachers say this. You can live better on 90% of God's money than you can on 100% because you just honor God with your tithe. I agree with that. But why don't we do that with rest? It really is about trusting God. And you're like, this is great, Pastor, but I'm way too busy. Okay, you listen to me. I realize this is Old Testament, but I think the principle is the same. God will get that rest out of you. One way or the other, he'll get it out of you. Learn to rest. Learn to just be still and quiet. Like I would go crazy. That's a problem, don't you think? Remember the wilderness message we preached about a little while ago? Like just being still and letting God work. The truth is, we really trust God. How did the Jews make it for a whole year without harvesting anything? God. They believed God. And can you imagine as you were coming up to the year of Jubilee? 2 years in a row, 49th and 50th year, we didn't harvest anything. How are we going to make it? God. It was dependence on God. That's what was happening. And that leads me to number three. Rest is a matter of faith in what God said. God said we would be better off to obey Him. In this case, rest from the above verses. Therefore, by faith, we do what He said. We need rest, and God commanded it. By the way, we are the sending church for a number of our missionaries. When a missionary comes home off the field, if we're their sending church, I require them to rest. Because they're not getting rest. And I know many a missionary that's landed in the country on Thursday or Friday, and their first meeting was Sunday. Not if I'm their pastor. That's not going to happen. And we wonder, by the way, that the average missionary only stays on the field 5 years. By the way, did you know that 90% of men who enter the ministry will not retire in ministry? 90%. That's a staggering figure, okay, when you really think through that. Number four, the care of the church is different than normal care. And this is where this can be self-promoting, and I don't mean it that way at all, but I want to give you some things. Number one, I will give an account for you. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I've said to you before, I'm not sure what this accountability will look like. I don't know if it's going to be, God's going to say, okay, Pastor Ogle, come up here, stand. All right, church member number one, all right, tell me what kind of church member. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I do know that God says I'm going to give an account for your soul. And if I can do it with joy, that's profitable to you. Can I just tell you, that's a heavy burden to care for you that way? God warns to not be many masters because of higher accountability in James chapter 3 and verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that ye shall receive the greater condemnation. So someone that's in a position of leadership this way holds the greater accountability. In other words, God's going to hold me higher accountability. Number three, you may know some problems that go on in our church. But generally, a pastor carries lots of people's problems. Now, this doesn't mean that I don't want to do this, but it does take a toll at times. It is what God has called me to do, and I wouldn't want to do anything else. Trust me with that. Just as an example, there was a stretch recently in which over 2 years, all but one vacation was interrupted with difficult things, counseling, tragedy, so forth. We didn't have a complete vacation, if you will. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 28, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Philippians 2 and verse 20, he says, for I have no man like-minded, referring to Timothy, who will naturally care for your state. The word care means to attend to care for, to be concerned about someone's welfare. One author said this, and I thought it was a powerful statement. In the course of a day, a pastor can, not always, but he can, deal with death, deep spiritual issues, great encouragement, petty criticisms, tragedies, illnesses, and celebrations of birth. The emotional roller coaster is draining. Your pastor needs a break, many times a break with no distractions. That's a direct quote. And again, please understand, one of the things I don't want to, we've talked about with some of the staff and so forth, I don't want you coming out of here saying, well, I'm not going to burden you with something. That is not what I want, okay? I want to help bear your burdens. That's what God has called me to do. But there are times when it's pretty overwhelming. And I think that's one of the reasons why rest is good. Number five, truth. Just because someone admits weakness or need doesn't mean they want to quit or do not like their job. One of the things that came up early on in our discussions was they said a lot of times when someone takes a sabbatical, they come back and resign, right? I'm not planning to do that, okay? We're not looking at another ministry. We're not planning to do that, okay? The Lord gave me a really neat illustration, okay? I think it's a neat illustration. All of you that have had the privilege of being moms, okay? There are times when you need a break from the daily grind of constant pulling and questions, etc. Mommy, 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 pulling at you to go, all this kind of stuff, constant, constant, constant. And sometimes you just say, I want a break. Doesn't mean you don't want to be a mom. Doesn't mean you want to quit at that. It just means, can I just have a few minutes of peace and quiet, you know, type of thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, we've already went through that in our 2 Corinthians study. Paul says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Paul says, we're not about quitting, but there is a lot going on. Now, please understand, I am not remotely saying what I've going through as a pastor is anywhere near what Paul goes through. I'm not saying that, but it's the point that Paul is trying to make here. Number six, refreshment is also a principle taught in Scripture. In Exodus 31 and verse 17, it says, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. We've already mentioned this verse. The word refreshed here means to breathe freely or recover. The idea is actually this. That's the idea. It's really interesting. I started to bring some of this in the message, but I decided not to. You ought to just go have some fun and look at what a deep sigh does for you. What it does for your lungs, what it does for a variety of things. It's a fascinating study of what it actually does for you. And you find yourself, matter of fact, the more stressed you are, the more you find yourself breathing that way. Right, college students? I can see some of their eyes going, yeah. You know, you walk down the hall sometimes, you know, just trying to breathe, right? But that's the idea. The refreshment is just a deep sigh. That's kind of the word picture. Exodus 23 and verse 12, 6 days thou shalt do work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid, and the stranger may be refreshed. It's really interesting that God is not only telling the children of Israel they need rest, but their animals need rest and their servants need rest. I'm reading through the book of Exodus right now, and I don't have this verse in my message, but I decided to read it. Exodus 34, 21. 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. Notice this. I'd never seen this before. In earing time and in harvest thou shalt rest. Okay, question. For those of you that have worked on a farm or have been in a farming community, when is the busiest two times of the years for farmers? Planting and harvest, isn't it? That's earing time. What he says here, earing time and harvest. You know what God is saying? In your busiest seasons, still take your day of rest. I've got crops got to come in. God said, take your day of rest. That's what he said. I think it's interesting that he brings that out here. 2 Samuel 16, 14, and the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not afraid of my chain. This is Paul speaking. The word refreshed here means to provide relief from obligation or trouble, to give someone a breathing space to revive or to refresh. Romans 15 and verse 32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed. This word means to relax in someone's company, to rest with them. This is one of the reasons we're spending the first part of our sabbatical with dear friends who are also in ministry. When we get together with them, it should be criminal how much we laugh. Really. We're picking them up in Boston, Massachusetts on Friday, and we've got a week, not quite a week, but in a house on Cape Cod. You're like, wow, you could afford that? Nope, someone gave it to us for those days, which is wonderful. It's about a $3,500 cottage. We're excited about that as well, okay? By the way, there are many more passages about the idea of being refreshed in God's Word. Number seven, the pastor needs the local church as well. And this is probably the hardest part for us. We are saved, baptized members of EBC, and we need the church just like you need the church. It doesn't say we all need the body of Christ together except for the pastor. And so many times I think men who are in ministry think they don't need the church, but the truth is I need the church as much as you do. It's critical that we do so. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compact of that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working for the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We're to encourage each other. This is another direct quote. It says, I've heard from many pastors who share with me a sentence similar to this one. I know my church loves me because they gave me a sabbatical. Pastors need affirmation. Sabbaticals can accomplish that goal. I want to say from our heart, thank you for caring for us. Another person said this, and I quote, I estimate that only about 5% of churches offer sabbaticals. In almost every case I'm familiar, the relationship between pastor and the congregation is very healthy. I do think at least one of the reasons is the sabbatical. Number 8, and I've already mentioned this. I'm going to finish on time. Sunday school teachers can breathe easy. We are not thinking of quitting or moving on, but we are excited for this extended rest, refreshment, and recharge. People have said, some of you have asked, are you excited? We are. We're not excited about being away from you. Okay, that's kind of the hardest part of this whole thing. Matter of fact, as we worked through that in the beginning months, my wife was like, no, I'm not going to be disconnected from my ladies. And I'm like, well, babe, you need to be. It'll be good for that time with that. And this is something that the men have asked of us. We can see the wisdom in it, but they've asked of us to disconnect. They've asked us not to watch live stream. They've asked us not to be connected through email. There'll be an email that'll go out when someone emails me. Hey, I'm on an extended sabbatical. We've got a sabbatical set up for cell phone. All those kind of things are there. You're like, well, what happens if there is a genuine emergency? Pastor Adam knows how to get in touch with me, and we can do that. We're going to try to send a weekly update through him. And so I hope that'll be a blessing. In 2 Corinthians, we're not in despair. We do not feel abandoned. We are tired. We love it here and can't imagine serving anywhere else. We look forward to coming back ready to go. Another author said this, and I quote, though my information is anecdotal, I do see the trend. And while I cannot prove a cause and effect relationship, I feel confident that pastors who have sabbaticals are much more likely to stay at a church because they are less likely to experience burnout. I talked to a pastor who took an extended sabbatical, and he made an interesting statement to me. He said to me, currently, I care that I don't care. And he said, I don't want to get to a point where I don't care that I don't care. That was a really interesting statement. In other words, he was saying, I've gotten to the point in ministry where I just don't care. And he said, that bothers me that I don't care. And before I get to the point that I don't care that I don't care, then I want to step away. And it's been good for them to do so. So our time away is going to be with some friends in Cape Cod, as I mentioned. We've got some time in a cabin along, just Lisa and I. We are spending a little time with family, though not a lot. I'm not going to preach anywhere else or counsel other people outside of our ministry, or in our ministry for that matter, in the next time. So I don't want you to think, well, he's going to go out here, and I'm not going to do that, okay? We need the rest. We do plan to do some reading. We have some books picked out, some specifically. One about burnout, one about ministering from being empty. Another one is The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Those are some books that we're going to try to read while we're gone. We plan to study a passage together for our own personal edification. We plan to have some slow days with no set schedule. We're going to try to send a weekly email each week. If we can relay that to the church through Pastor Adam, that's our plan. We're primarily using this time as rest and renewal personally. Some people have asked, what are you going to accomplish while you're gone? What are you going to study? We're really not going away to try to study or any of that kind of stuff. Like, do you not like to study? I actually love to study, but it's what I do all the time. and so getting a break from that is interesting. Again, I don't want to sound self-promoting with this, but almost every Sunday when I leave church, headed home, usually by the time we get done with the second service and I greet people and counsel or whatever needs to be done, I'm pretty wore out by the time I leave here on the way home, okay? And almost every Sunday, typically before I get home, sometime on that drive, it's only 11 minutes home, by the way, sometime I think, I've got three more messages to prepare this week. It's the constant that comes as a result. We finished church today. The staff is headed to the mountains for our annual staff retreat. We need this staff retreat for several reasons, and we wanted to have this before we leave because when we get back, we'll only be 2 weeks away from our annual deacon and staff meeting, which plans our budget, plans our calendar year, all those kinds of things. So then we'll return home sometime on Wednesday, and we'll be in that service. This Wednesday night, I'll be in the service, and I will preach. And then Thursday morning of this week, the sabbatical will start. We plan to be back on Sunday, November the 9th, though the men have asked me not to preach on that day because if I do, then I'll have to study on sabbatical to prepare for that day. So we have a missionary already scheduled for that day, and then evangelist Jake DeAndre will be with us as well. So I'm looking forward to that. But we'll be in the service on that day. And this will allow me not to have something ready when I get back. If you have a need, the deacons and Pastor Adam are available, as well as others who are covering various responsibilities. We have people set up that are going to handle some counseling if that comes up and so forth. I am confident that you are in good hands, all right? God has placed some tremendous people here that I think will be a help and a blessing to you. Okay, we got just a couple of minutes. Do you have a question that you think will impact the entire church that you would like to ask? If it's just an individual question, I can answer that for you. But do you have a question that you think will impact the entire church that you would like to ask that will be a blessing to that? Yes, Brother Wayne. Okay, great. That's a great question. Thank you for asking. Did the deacons allot extra funds? They did. The church gave us a $5,000 bonus to cover travel, lodging, those kinds of things. So, yes, and that was incredibly gracious to be able to do that. So, yes. Yes, Brother Dale. Okay, so the question is, having studied sabbatical, have I come to the conclusion that this will be a fairly regular occurrence? We would love to establish a pattern where we give sabbaticals to staff members on a regular basis. And what that looks like, we're not sure yet. This was kind of the start. The truth is, I don't know what it looks like because I'm not even done it yet. You know, it's one of those things where we're like, okay, is this going to be, I don't know. I really don't even know. Are we going to be by week two bored out of our minds and be itching to go? I don't know. I've heard quite a few pastors have told me through articles or whatever, not personally, that it's not usually till week three that they really let down. It's like all of a sudden they're like, oh, I can really relax now. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how that goes with that. But we would love, we're looking at the possibility of every 7 years giving some extra weeks of vacation that would be blocked in like a sabbatical with that. One of the things that I have appreciated is that our men said, we don't want this to impact your vacation. Because the church gives us 4 weeks of vacation. If you just use this as your 4 weeks of vacation, we didn't give you anything extra. You just got the 4 weeks we already gave to you. And so that's been really helpful to be able to do that as well. So it is something we would love to look at for the long term, for the health of the staff members as well as for the health of the church, I think is a good thing. So good questions. Someone else? Question that may impact everyone. Yes, J.D.? No, that was a number of years ago. That was a bonus for, I think, our 10th anniversary, I think is what it was for that. This was voted on in December. Yeah, the church voted on that in December to give the $5,000. And then what happened was we rented the cabin and the church paid for that. There was some benefit to the church putting that on the credit card. The rest of it they just gave to us. We have it in a savings. We'll begin to use it as we leave on a Thursday morning, so. Pastor Adam or Brother Raphael, did I miss anything? Are we good with the communication there? So good. I hope this has been a help to you. I wanted to kind of share our heart with you, and hopefully this will be a blessing to you as well. We're not tired of you. We love you very, very much and can't wait. Matter of fact, I think it was last week, I walked out of my office one night. I was done for the day, and I went to turn off the light, and I thought, it's going to be weird not being in this office for a month. Like, it's just going to be weird. I don't know exactly what that's going to feel like, but I love being here. I really do, and I'm grateful for it. So, all right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that when we obey Scripture, you honor your word. That's what we're supposed to do. And so I pray that we would, that you'd protect the, they're your flock. They're not mine, they're yours. So would you protect them? Would you help it to be a wonderful time for them? Would you help it to be a wonderful time for us? Refreshed, rejuvenated, resting. Lord, that we will come back raring to go as well. We're grateful. And we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, Lord.